ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more. It keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily. 5 apps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Little top here's Nestori. Great first touch. Nestori, a good now. Oh, my word. It's a Nestori moment in Vancouver.
That is the sound of a Tony Popovich selection gamble paying off big time. Nestori Irankunda was one of 10 World Cup debutants in a Socceroos side teeming with youth. You have to have stones to overlook captain and goalkeeper Matt Ryan, to leave out another skipper in Jackson Irvine, to play both Irankunda and Moture from the outset. Turkey's captain said he expected the team to dominate this game. They simply had too much quality, he reckoned. Didn't work out so well for him. That victory has left Australia second in their group, hot on the heels of the USA, who are up next. Today, though, we are soaking up the vibes with Mark Schwarzer and Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Mark Schwarzer has more Socceroos caps than anyone to represent Australia, so what a time to talk to him. Mark, Socceroos fans are in dreamland. Tell me your emotion after seeing this team engineer that win.
I'm almost speechless, honestly. It's like, what an amazing performance, first and foremost, from the beginning to the end, like from every decision that Tony Popovich made to the actual execution of the game plan to just taking their opportunities. And I thought overall, I don't think there's a player really you can point out and say, well, maybe wasn't quite at their game. I think everything fell in our sort of laps. But all, not fell in our laps, I think we credited it. It was everything they did. It was there was nothing given. It was all earned. It was all worked out. It was dreamland. It was unbelievable performance.
Is it possible to overstate how big Tony Popovich went at selection? 10 World Cup debutants, a captain overlooked in Matt Ryan, another captain overlooked in Jackson Irvine, Moture, Irankunda starting together. But I've got to ask you, I've got to point to Patrick Beach between the sticks.
I was very, very surprised with that decision at 100%. I didn't see that coming. And then the reason being, because you've got Matty Ryan, obviously, we know, captain of the national team, fourth World Cup. I mean, he's never let Australia down in a World Cup. He's been exceptional this year at Levante in La Liga. I was like, it was dead certain. Odds on favour, we're not taking any more bets on it. That's how I felt about it. And that's not being disrespectful to anyone else. It was just the way that Matty Ryan's performed. And I just thought that's a certainty. So I was really surprised. But then by the same, and I feel for Matty, right? I really do feel for him because I know exactly how he's feeling. That is a really tough one to take. And I think the thing is, Patrick Beach, I mean, I'll take my hat off to him because the guy was outstanding. He obviously was put in an incredibly pressurized position. The manager obviously believed in him 100% because otherwise he would never have put him in that position. And Patrick Beach stood up and was outstanding. I mean, he saved in the first half. I was watching the commentary and I was watching Fox here in the US and they didn't even comment on it. That save was world class.
And it's Medici off the post.
I think that's come off Patty Beach. I think he saved that.
And it was a game-saving, game-changing save as well.
At the other end of the park, Ture Irankunda, they terrorised the Turkish defence. Talk us through that opening goal. A wonderful ball as well from Okan Engsler.
Well, again, that's another big call, right? So Okan Engsler starting in midfield ahead of Jackson Irvine. I also think Connor Metcalf was a really big call. Connor's not been playing every week. He's had a stop-start season. He's been on the bench a lot. I was just surprised by that decision, right? But look, Tony Popovich is working with these players week in, week out for the last how many weeks now. He had a clear game plan. He knew exactly what he wanted to do with his team. And Okan Engsler was brilliant. He was right up there with Patrick Beach. It was not effortless, but it looked effortless. And I never one moment felt like this kid was out of his depth in any way, shape or form. He just looked like he was meant to be there. And it was a brilliant performance. His ball was excellent. Aaron Kunda, people have been crying out for Mo Touré and Aaron Kunda to start. And the big question always was, are the two going to, we did it in the podcast, are the two going to play together? They can play together. That was my response, but I don't know whether he will. But either way, it's going to be a great combination, whether he comes off the bench or whether he starts. And of course today, I mean, Nestori, Aaron Kunda, I mean, he is something special. And, you know, there are, you know, elements of him that is a little bit like, maybe a little bit off the cuff. There's a little bit of a, he's got a bit of a rogue side to him. I tell you what, when he plays football and when he plays like that, he scares the living daylights out of everyone. You saw, look, Turkey are a good side, a very good side. They didn't know how to deal with him. I thought Mo Touré, yes, didn't score, but his work rate was exceptional. His runs in down the channels was brilliant. He again also, every time he got the ball, the defenders were dropping deeper and deeper and deeper. So again, I think it was a perfect performance. Yeah, you can look at the stats and say, well, we didn't have as much possession. That was never going to change. We saw that in the lead-up games. We've seen it under Popovich's leadership, that's kind of the way they're set up. But when you pick those sort of players and when people play to their potential and then also execute the plan, that's the kind of performance you get, and absolutely outstanding.
What is Aaron Kunda's ceiling?
I think it's up to him. I really do. I think he's got pretty much everything and anything that you need to have as an attacking player: speed, skill in the ball. Maybe there's a couple of times, maybe his focus is like, there's a couple of times where there was a simpler pass played to him and he kind of like took his eye off it maybe a little bit. I'm not sure, maybe he relaxed a little bit, but I think it's up to him. I think he can get to almost any height if he really puts his mind to it, if he really, you know, rolls his sleeves up and goes for it. I mean, this kid, oh, look, it's one game in the World Cup. Try not to get too carried away, but we're talking about the World Cup, right? We're talking about a team in Turkey who are a top, top class side. We're talking about our youngest ever goal scorer at a World Cup. This kid can go really, really far.
As good as he was, we also need to shine a light on Connor Metcalf, a goal seemingly out of nowhere as they were hanging on with their compact defence. And then Connor Metcalf goes bang with his left foot. How did you take it in?
I was screaming, pass the ball. I literally, because we had the overlap, and I was like, pass the ball, and he hits it. And I went, oh my God, it's a goal.
Metcalf, it opens up beautifully. Oh, why? Connor Metcalf with a goal to save it in Vancouver.
Unbelievable. It was a great strike. You see it from behind. And I then started to think, how did that go in? Did it take a deflection? And the way he played it and the way he struck it was exceptional. He used the defender as a bit of a shield. The keeper saw it late, and it was always going away from the goalkeeper. Again, excellent, absolutely excellent. I thought he was outstanding in the game, Connor Metcalf, considering how little regular sort of 90 minutes of football he's played, how little game time he's had. I thought, again, he was superb.
We've touched on the sort of organisation of this Popovich outfit and how they fought tooth and nail as they got that lead. Can you just tell us about the discipline it takes from a group to buy into that for the level of work that we saw?
Look, I don't think from like Aussie teams, I don't think any of us had to be sold or have to buy into a method or work rate, work ethic. You know, we saw Rukus hitting in 2006. The work that was put in leading up to that World Cup, the work that needed to be put in during that World Cup was on another level to what we'd kind of had before. And there wasn't a single player that complained one particular moment. Not any moment, any time that anyone ever complained about the work rate. And I think exactly the same with this squad. I think all of our Aussie teams have been the same. I don't think there is a Socceroos team that's ever complained about work rate. That's something that is ingrained in the Socceroos mentality. Australian footballers in general, they work their socks off. They give everything to play for the Socceroos. And today was another brilliant example of it. I mean, the scenes back in Australia, you know, Fed Square and everywhere else, it's like, bring back so much memories. And it's just like, it's so special.
And that's what I wanted to ask you next. When you think about great Socceroo World Cup moments, Kaiserslautern against Japan, Denmark in Qatar, now we have Turkey in Vancouver. Like, where does this rank in terms of all-time Socceroos moments?
Yeah, right up there. Add it to the list. It's like, I just want the list to get bigger and bigger. This is what we dreamed of as guys growing up, young footballers growing up in Australia, my generation of players. Look, Paul Okon Engsler's juniors, his dad's on the bench. He never played at a World Cup. This is his first experience at a World Cup. That's what I was part of his generation. You know, these people that never had this experience. Hayden Fox that was there on the bench as well. Mila Jednak knows what it's all about. You know, he was of a slightly different generation. Popper was like me. We got a taste of it. And it's something that we hope that would continue. And we hope that if we could continue it, these sort of memories, storylines, these kind of unbelievable footballing moments can continue. And look, I'll say it to my last breath, that football is the only sport in Australia that brings people together like it does. It's the only sport in the country that actually gets the country to stop, to rejoice, look at the thousands, tens of thousands of people that come out in the squares across the whole of the country to support the Socceroos. That only happens when the Socceroos play at a World Cup.
Tony Popovich, I think the Socceroos fans out there would have felt nervous seeing what happened at selection. Obviously the players believe, but what sort of level of belief does this instill behind a manager where literally every rein he pulled today was perfect?
Look, I think from the players it's been a build-up. I think since he's been in charge, he's changed things. He's changed the attitude, what it means to play for the Socceroos. He's put people under pressure. He's put all sorts of people under pressure, players that maybe in the past have kind of, you've always felt like a dead certain to play. Look, Jackson Irvine and Matty Ryan are great examples of that, you know, and I'm not trying to you know, I feel for them. I really do. Like, I've been there. I know what that feels like. It's tough. And to see them running on the pitch celebrating as well was special, you know, because that's, they're those special moments.
And there it is. It's a famous Socceroos victory.
Incredible, incredible scenes.
That's how shows you this team is together. And first and foremost, this is about representing Australia at a World Cup. And again, we love proving people wrong. And this is just one step in that direction of proving more people wrong, which we love doing. We love being the underdog. We love being written off. And this is like, hopefully, the start of something really, really special here in at this World Cup.
You touch on your experiences from 2006, where you were dropped for the group game before being brought back into the fold. Matt Ryan is now living that experience. What's he going through? And what would your advice be to him to pick himself back up?
I think he'll have so much of the mixed emotions. Look, he's a very experienced guy. He knows he's had setbacks before. He's been left out before. It's not the first time it's happened to him. So it's a big call, and it's the first time it's happened to him in a World Cup, though. So that's the big thing. And he'll know. Look, he's just got to get his head down. He's got to work hard. The difficulty for him, and I say this respectfully, is that, like, because Patrick played so well, it's like, well, I'm not going to play the next game. Because, you know, when you do get dropped, it's almost like, well, okay, let's see how this unfolds and maybe I'll get in the next game. I don't think anything's going to change. I don't think very much is going to change this next game come up. I mean, that's how good the performances were of all the players, and also in particular Patrick Beech. I thought, like I said before, I thought he was brilliant. It's tough for him, and it's going to be a tough moment. He's going to celebrate, obviously, the victory and how big it is, but deep down you feel like you've should have been, could have been, would have been part of it. Even though you are part of it, you're on the peripheral a little bit, but you didn't play that football. And we all want to play. That's the thing. And I think that's also important to know, that it's important to have that. You want all your players to hurt when they don't play. You want them not to be satisfied by not playing. I want him to be upset. I want him to be. And you show, like I mentioned, he showed, him and Jackson Irvine in this particular instance, because those two were the ones that the most high profile that were left out, they both were full wholeheartedly involved and right in those celebrations and right in the mix. And they knew how special the moment it is and how big a win that was.
Will he be feeling as though his international career is coming to a close? Because as you say, you know, Beach is 22 years of age. He's just played out of his skin. I know that's like, that is knee-jerk reaction in the moment, but do you see it that way?
No, not at all. Look, Manny's always believed in his own ability, and that's what we do, right? So you all have self-belief, right? You need it, because there are times like this where you feel like maybe the manager's lost a little bit of belief in you. Maybe he doesn't think you're quite good enough to be number one. And that there's no reason to think that that's what Matty Ryan's thinking through his head right now, because he's been left out, and that's only natural. That's natural to think that. I'd be thinking exactly the same thing. I'd be thinking that the manager just doesn't see me as the number one anymore, and that's hard to take. But for there's no reason whatsoever to say that his international career is over with. In a blink of an eye, things can change. Anything can happen. Injuries, like dropping in form, anything can happen. It'll be heads down, working together, trying to be... Look, he's the captain of the Socceroos as well. Let's not forget that. So he'll be have a role to play in at the very least. If he's not going to be on the football pitch on match day, he's going to be there supporting the team. And knowing what Matty's like, he'll be 100% vested in that.
You spoke about proving people wrong. 600 million... euros worth of transfers, that Turkish side, versus 70 million euros in transfers for this Australian side. Kind of almost reflects the possession. I think it was 72% Turkish possession versus 28%. The USA just took Paraguay absolutely apart yesterday. They looked formidable. Some pundits from the States said it was the best World Cup display they've ever seen from the Stars and Stripes. Your really good mate, Mike Grella, he has doubled down on the smack talk.
I go look at their team. I don't recognize any players in the team. What are they drinking over there? Because they got no shot of doing anything at the World Cup, right? And they're the weakest team in the group. There's no shot Australia could compete with the US.
Do you reckon Grella and co know what they're doing? Do you reckon they know the fire they're playing with?
The question is, what is their agenda? Do they really believe it, or is it just about clicks? Is it just about getting attention and wanting to be in the limelight? Most likely. I've watched quite a lot of ex-footballers here in the US anyway, and there is a lot of that. There's pretty much all of that happening all the time, and it seems like it's got to be the one with the loudest voice, the biggest controversy, the one that gets the most opportunities to stand in front of the camera. And I, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't really care. Like, for me, it's about the performances. And today, we've taken that first step in the right direction. We like to let our performances do the talking. Today, we let our performance do the talking against Turkey. And then the next opportunity will be now against the US. And look, the US are a good side. They performed really, really well in that first game against a very poor Paraguay, I have to admit. I was very, very disappointed with their levels of performance, considering how well they did in the qualification. I thought they were very, very below par. But give credit to the US. They started the game with really good intensity, and they took their chances, and they scored some really good goals. It sets up for a really, really intense battle. And obviously, it's added a bit extra spice to it because of the fact that there's been a lot said. It's not new to us. You know, we've had it before. Grella said it before in May. He said it again. There's been a number of ex-American players. I'm not going to mention the names because I don't want to give them any more limelight. Let's just wait and see. You know, there's a lot can happen in football, and I'm excited to see it. And I can imagine the boys will be very, very excited to play against the US, because you're playing against one of the host nations. It'll be a packed house once again. There'll be obviously overwhelming support for the US, but we'll have a really good contingent of Aussie supporters there as well, which we saw tonight in Vancouver, which is insane. And the players, like, appreciate it and love it, and I love it and watch it and appreciate it as well. And it's amazing to see it. And I know that on that performance today, that gives me a lot of hope that this group of guys can go and do something special at this World Cup.
Final question, any changes? Like, would you expect Popovich to run that back? Like, I'm sure he'll cut his cloth for the challenge that the USA presents.
With Tony Popovich, who knows? Look, if you ask me for this game, who's going to start? Like I said to you, in goal, I would have said Matty Ryan for sure. He's thrown a massive curveball in playing Patrick Beech, which we say it was a curveball before the game, but it was a masterstroke, because in terms of, not saying that Matty wouldn't have done the same, but he played brilliantly. So the decision he made paid off.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we've always seen, and I've got a lot of belief in the young man, and he stood up today, so very happy for him.
You know, Ocon Engsler Jr. was exceptional. I thought O'Neill was exceptional. I thought Italiano was really good down the right-hand side for Australia as well. And Conor Metcalf, like I mentioned earlier on. So all of the key decisions that Tony Popovich made has worked. And I don't think there's a dead certain that he'll play that same 11. They all deserve to play a game, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean they'll go and play, because Pop will have his ideas of what he has to do against this US side. He'll see their strengths and weaknesses, and he'll pick his team accordingly. There's no doubt for me whatsoever. I'd be surprised, though, if that back three changed at all, or back four. I'd be surprised if Beach, Chikati, Suter or Burgess changes. I'd be a little bit surprised with that. But you never know, because I'm also a big fan of Harrington in at the back as well. So I was a little bit surprised to see him out of the side again, but I wouldn't be surprised if he would have slot in against the US team, since he knows quite a lot of the players as well.
Where you are, it is incredibly late. You've been very good to stay up and unpack what is just a landmark moment in Australian football, again, at a Football World Cup. You've earned a sleep. I don't know that you'll be able to actually get to sleep, given the buzzing nature of the vibes right now. But Mark Schwarzer, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Here's what else is making headlines from the World Cup. Scotland has waited 28 years to be back at this tournament, and their fans, the Tartan Army, they might be the best thing to happen to this tournament. Have a listen to their anthem. They beat Haiti 1-0, their first World Cup victory since 1990. They're now a huge chance to progress to the knockout stage as they're leading Group C. In the same group, African heavyweights Morocco took it right up to Brazil and ultimately drew 1-1. The five-time champs were saved by a brilliant individual goal from Real Madrid star Vinicius Jr. Elsewhere, Qatar held Switzerland to a 1-1 draw. It means Group B is evenly poised. Canada, Switzerland, Qatar, Bosnia-Herzegovina all have a point. We'll be back tomorrow all week long too with the latest from the Football World Cup. I'm Patrick Stack and this was produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to SBS, CBS, ESPN and Connor Ryan on Twitter for the extra audio used in this episode.